Our first lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter. Let us listen for God's word. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away, so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray.
Our second scripture lesson comes from Psalm chapter 46. Listen again for God's word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
A few weeks ago, I received in the mail my certificate and patch for climbing the 6 mountains around Saranac Lake, New York. I am now one of the elite climbers who has done that, along with nearly 4,800 other people. Maybe not so elite, but I'm still glad to have climbed it, especially with my family, and seen the views at the top of each mountain. Well, mostly. The description of Scarface Mountain lowered our expectations of what we'd see at the top. The trail follows an old road over flat terrain to the beginning of a steady climb to the top with views all along the way that require some bushwhacking. However, the summit itself does not offer a view, the guidebook said. The summit is completely surrounded by trees that obstruct the view, and a few spots near the top trick hikers into thinking they have reached the summit. This was all good to know ahead of time. It was true that the summit was further on than it looked. There was no view at the top, and the views weren't that good along the way. The view, or lack thereof, met our expectations. What I didn't expect was the experience in the woods as we hiked to the base of the mountain. During the first mile, our kids had walked ahead of Tammy and me to the point that we couldn't see or hear them. And at one point, a flower caught Tammy's eye, so she stopped to admire it and take a bunch of pictures. I decided to keep moving. The trail was surrounded on both sides by trees that looked socially distanced from one another. Brush and grass grew in between them. The branches provided cover from direct sunlight. It was very peaceful. So peaceful, in fact, that there wasn't any sound. No birds chirping. No critters moving on the ground. No insects buzzing in my ears. No cars off in the distance. No planes overhead. Just silence. So much so that I felt the need to pause my walk and be there. I listened to the silence. I paid attention to it. And the longer I did, the more I felt like I became a part of it. Reaching the summit didn't seem so important anymore. That moment of stillness and silence taught me that pausing was just as important a part of the journey as reaching the summit or completing the hike. Our scripture readings today invite us not only to pause, but to make pausing a part of our practice of faith. Psalm 46 is a rather famous psalm for two reasons. The psalm begins, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble." Those words inspired Martin Luther to write the words to the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," something of an anthem for Protestant Christians. Luther had stood up to the abuses of power inside the church and called for reform. That threatened the powers that be and led to his isolation, estrangement, and even attempts on his life. In the midst of all of that, Luther paused to write, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he, amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing." Luther paused in the midst of his crisis to remember and experience anew that God was with him. He was even inspired to write a song about it. Psalm 46 is also known for verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God." Jews and Christians have used this verse in times of crisis, internally and externally, to do what it says. Be still. Pause and center yourself again in the truth that God is God, no matter what is happening. People have spoken these words, breathed these words, meditated on these words, all to help them calm down, connect with, and trust the source of life itself. I was so taken by the anxiety in people's lives during the pandemic that I added these words to the welcome screen of my Zoom account with a little modification. People were so anxious about life, so anxious even about using Zoom, so anxious about being out of control that when they saw my Zoom welcome screen, it says, "Be still and know that the meeting will start soon." In other words, pause and center yourself in this moment. You haven't missed the meeting. You haven't clicked the wrong button. You aren't being left out. If you can see this message, you are in the right place. So take a deep breath and wait. That's ultimately what Psalm 46 is asking us to do. To pause and center ourselves in God as our refuge and strength, and God as our very present help in times of trouble. It's asking us to do more than say the words. It's asking us to embody them, to practice them, to breathe them, to pray them, to know the truth of them in our lives. The Hebrew literally says, "God is for us a refuge and strength." We pause to know how true that is. Psalm 46 challenges us to ask how these words shape who we are and what we do when life is good and when it isn't. When the storms rage, how do we trust that God is for us? When mountains shake or seas roar, how do we ground ourselves in God's refuge? When nations are in an uproar, or markets are shaken, or jobs are lost, or pandemics are raging, how do we rely on God's strength? When life is chaos and the future uncertain, how can we be still and trust that our lives are grounded in the love and grace of God, more so even than any place, any financial security, even any weapon of war? The psalmist asks. This psalm was meant to be sung. We don't have the music, but curiously, we do have a musical marking. You may have noticed the word Selah as we were reading the passage. It appears three times. It's not actually part of the poem. It's how the poem is supposed to be read or sung. It's a musical notation that means division, silence, or pause. And somehow, it was included in the Bible. It tells us something about how to read this poem about God and how to be still. It invites us to pause as we read it. It's there to say, don't read this too fast or you'll miss God. Read a piece and pause. Read another piece and pause. And each time ask, what did I just read? What do I notice? How is God present to me? Each time you hear the word Selah is an invitation to stop and breathe and notice God's presence with you. For whatever reason this musical marking was included, Selah tells us how to read this psalm with pauses, maybe because it's just too easy to keep going. To keep working, to keep giving, to keep doing something until we no longer really know how God is present to us or how to trust that God is still God, and all of these statements about God simply become nice words. Jesus knew the potential for Psalm 46 to become merely words in our other reading today in Matthew, which is why our gospel lesson begins and ends with a pause. Two significant events had happened just before our reading. First, Jesus tried to go home and share who he truly was, but all the people could do was barrage him with questions, the kinds of questions that feel more like an interrogation than the kind that help us understand and know someone. The people, his people, were more offended by him than open to what he had to say. His own town rejected him. Then news arrived that John the Baptist had been murdered by Herod. Herod's wife had manipulated Herod into the execution and used the power of the throne to kill Jesus' cousin. It's no wonder that Jesus withdrew to a deserted place by himself. He needed time to recover from the pain of not being accepted by his own people, as well as the grief of losing someone he loved. He needed to pause his ministry and recover. The crowd of people who followed him had other plans, however. They followed him to the deserted place. They were sick, they were suffering, and they were hungry. They found him, but they had no provisions to either be there with him or to get back home safely. And what's worse, the disciples didn't seem to notice or care about it. Send the crowds away, they said. They seemed to blame the sick, suffering, hungry people for being sick, suffering, hungry people. That was their problem, not the disciples' problem or responsibility. Jesus, however, looked at the crowd with compassion, maybe because he too was suffering from rejection and grief. Even as depleted as he might have been, he still offered them an abundance that day, feeding 5,000 people with leftovers to spare. And the people were able to go on their way and live their lives. As soon as Jesus dismissed the crowds and sent the disciples on a boat across the sea, he went up a mountain to pray. Finally, to pause more, reflect, and renew himself in God's presence with him. This passage leaves me wondering, how did that first time away help Jesus do his ministry better or differently? Who would have thought that 5 loaves and 2 fish could feed a multitude and create leftovers? Taking a pause seems to have opened up new possibilities for ministry. Rather than doing what the disciples did, take a quick look at their resources, the large number of people, and say, we don't have a budget for that. Or thinking that the crowd was only there to take advantage of Jesus, or, you know, they're sick, suffering, and hungry because of their choices. Instead, Jesus was able to feel compassion again and see the possibilities and the resources at hand. I wonder how taking care of himself helped Jesus avoid all of that limited thinking, that scarcity mindset, and allowed him to see new possibilities for how God's love and grace could be real in people's lives. It's just too easy to get locked into certain kinds of thinking or certain ways of doing things until we can't see any other way, how the church building should look, what programs are supposed to be here, even when we're supposed to open the building again for everybody, even the way we have done things the last 30 years, as if that's the only way we can do ministry or it can happen here. Pausing invites us to step out of the way we always do things and seek renewal in the one who created us, loves us, sustains us, and calls us here to do ministry. Pausing allows us to return with fresh eyes to see what God is doing and what we can do, like feeding 5,000 people. And you won't believe what happens right after this second pause. Jesus walks on water. I'm starting a pause tomorrow in my ministry. It's not only a pause after 15 months of ministry in a pandemic, though that's true. It's not only a pause after 11 years as your pastor, though that's true too. It's a pause after 21 years of ordained ministry. The recommendation of our denomination is to take a sabbatical pause every 7 years. I'm taking my first after 21. I can't promise you that I or we will be able to feed 5,000 people when I return or walk on water as Jesus did. But I'd like to think that pausing for a time will allow me to rest apart from the daily expectations of ministry, to discover how tired I may really be, and hopefully see new possibilities, and certainly God with me in the renewal of time away in the deserted places I plan to visit. I don't want to be one of the 40% of pastors who, it was recently reported, are planning to leave their church call after the pandemic. I don't want to be one of the 25% of pastors who are so burned out that they plan to leave ministry altogether. I want to be able to see our ministry in new and next ways because I paused and stepped away from the daily grind. Like you, I too want to be renewed in the good news of God's presence and providence and peace. I want to be ready for what feeding 5,000 people and walking on water will look like in our life together. So I invite you to take a pause with me today, to seek some rest and renewal in God's presence for you. I invite you to read a book with me this summer that we'll discuss in the fall. I invite you to walk a labyrinth, go on a hike, join in some activities on Thursday nights. I invite you to pray with me and for me as I will for you. And I invite you to discover in the midst of that stillness who God is for you. And then I invite you back here on September 12th, rested, renewed, and ready for the next stage in our pilgrimage of faith and life and ministry together. And all throughout this rest and renewal, may we have time to be still and know how God is for us all. Amen.